Money Meets. Time to meet the influential and outstanding figures on Money Meets. Money Meets.
This is Alinani on Money Meets. We are joined by Dr. Kelvin M. Sokuni, who's the Group Chief Executive Officer at KSM Group. It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's good to see you.
How have you been?
Been very good. Been busier. You've
been busy.
Running up and down, chasing for money, of course.
Exactly. So now, a number of people know about Kelvin as a business person, and we'll just like to get into some details about you and just your life. You know, okay. And just tell us what makes you happen, how you make certain decisions in your life.
Because
we would like to get to know what makes our industry, captains of industry, tick and think in a certain way. So we are very excited to have you on our show today. Thank you for coming again.
Thank you so much. First of all, I just want to thank God for giving me a life to be here today and have an opportunity to even speak and inspire someone. And also, I'd love to thank those that have made it in life. You do realize that as you grow up, there are those people that actually built the ladder for you. And the steps that I took in life, the decisions that I made, those that were surrounding me, helping me and guiding me to be what I am today, I want to say thank you so much.
Okay. I see here you're a doctor. That's a PhD, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's interesting.
So I'll be talking about it allow me just to talk about my life.
Yes.
So
let's take it back to you growing up. How was it like? How was it like in your family? And what were the chances of you ending up where you are today, given your background?
I present to you a unique life that I've led. And I think this resonates with a lot of Zambians and young people and those that have actually grown to be what they are today, like CEOs and all. What I've observed is that a lot of CEOs today, they're going to tell you a story about how they grew up. Or a lot of people that have made it in life, they're going to tell you about how difficult it was for them, you know, to just scale up in their lives to finally make it. In my own life, I grew up in a place called Chaisa, near Mandevo.
Yes.
That place was a very difficult place to be because it is a compound, a typical compound where amenities were missing and lacking, and so you had to make do with what you had. And to make things worse, I was staying closer to the bridge, which is where they sell salaula and stuff like that. But that place is closer to the Mazezuru.
Yes.
Or Kemarapodi, which really kind of kept a lot of rough guys there.
Is that why Mandevu is called Mandevu? Because of the beards?
Yes, it's because of
the Zulus.
The Zulus, they were keeping a lot of beards. And so, if you say, I want to go to that place where those people with beards Mandevu are, that's called Mandevu,
Okay.
So we growing in such an environment really had a lot of influence in terms of your character, the kind of people that you met with and so on and so forth. And it was very difficult for me. And I come from a family of four, so three ladies, and I'm the only man. I'm the third born. And so it was a challenge growing up because at a particular age, my dad decided to stop work. And when he stopped work, somehow he did not bring the money home. Typical sometimes of fathers and
men
going away. And by the time mom discovered that dad was actually not working, he only had 500 on him, 500 kwacha. And we were staying in this mud house. And I used to go to Mambilima Primary School, which is like going to school, you would walk for about 15, 20 kilometers from where we are, crossing very dangerous road called the Great North Road, all the way through the stadium behind there, near the Graveside. It's called Mambilima Primary School. It used to be called Mtendere Primary School. And it was tough just going to school and back every time. But when I remember my sister and I one day came from school, we had nothing to eat. And here I'm giving a background of my mom was a maid. She used to work in Roma as a maid. And so she would leave us home with barely nothing. And that particular day, so vividly remember, when we came from school, my sister and I were at the same school. Her name is Carol. When we came back from school, unfortunately that day, there was nothing to eat. And it was around 13 hours or so. So my sister told me, look, we need to eat something. And so she said, okay, could you go and pick out some charcoal? All right? We were using braziers then, mbaula. And so we would go and I went to the chishala and picked up some charcoal, put together, and we lit it. And my sister went to, by the toilets, you know, by the pit latrines, there used to be bondwe growing up around. So my sister had gone to pick up bondwe. And that day we cooked that bondwe and there was a bit of minimal we ate. That point does not leave me. And that point gave me, from that time, it gave me energy to think about how my life is going to be. I remember going into my room and I prayed to God that, God, if you are going to help me change this kind of life, I'm going to be a different person. And lo and behold, I grew up in that place with everything happening. I never took to drinking. And why I never took to drinking, up to now I don't drink, is because that used to be a little bit violent when he was actually drunk. So there used to be a mulberry tree in front of our house. And so each time around 18 hours, I would climb that tree waiting for that to come in. After the noise, I'd come down. And so one day I told myself, Dad is okay when he's not drunk. But when he's drunk, there's something wrong. So it's because of the beer. So I told myself, I'm not going to take beer. And today, I have never taken beer. So my growing up was really like tough in that place. Make long story short, I remember when I passed from my Bilima primary school going to Munali Secondary School. So I'm a Munalian. I skipped my Terrible Boys. I went to Munali.
Okay.
Once a Munalian, always a Munalian. So when I went to Munali, it was very far from home. Still remember from Chaisa.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how many Ks it is from Chaisa. And so if I had to use at that time mom's money, salary, I would use the whole salary for mom for transport to and from school. So it wasn't enough. So one time I told mom, could you help me buy a bicycle? So yeah, she tried to raise money to do that, but she said I couldn't manage. So I told her, okay, could you talk to your employers if I can also be employed? I work for my bicycle. Lo and behold, yes, she finally talked to someone, and I started work as a gardener and a housemaid. And I started working for Piccinini and Fifi, the owners of a particular restaurant here, Mint Cafe.
The
owners of that Mint Cafe.
Yes,
they were my bosses. Their names are Fifi and
the ones that employed your mother.
They're the ones that employed me.
They're the ones that employed you.
The elder sisters to Fifi are the ones that employed my mother. So they took me on as their gardener and their houseman. So they really supported me. I think Piccinini really, and I look at him now as my dad. I always see him, and he kept me very well. So they kind of took me on, supported me to school, and they bought me that bicycle.
Wow.
So I used to ride my bicycle to and from Nali Secondary School every day.
How did all of that, everything that was happening at home, how much impact did it have on your academics?
I think the greatest thing,
and most especially when you went to Munali,
I think I want to mention something here. I'm finding my behaviors right now being shaped by what mom did to me and the encouragement that mom did, and the kind of encouragement that mothers actually put into their children. I think the way my mom made us grow up was that she trusted us, first of all. She would leave us with a lot of responsibilities at home. She would actually ensure that there was no lady, there's no guy, there's no boy, there's no girl, there's no... We all did everything together. I used to cook at home, I used to do plates, I used to wash, I used to do everything with everyone else. And I think that was a good beginning for me to kind of be responsible. And so when she gets money, when she gets paid, she would actually put it on the table and put my sister and I on the table and ask, what can we do with this money? And because I was a boy, she would actually give me the money to keep. So will be very responsible for, I was very responsible from childhood. And looks like from the way I grew up, I kind of took over the mantles of managing the family.
Being the man of the house.
Being the man of the house from the early ages, being young. So life was really tough growing up in such, and so my life was shaped from that angle. Mm. And mom used to make sure that she took us to church, and which is very important for every family to do, take your children to church. Because I then grew up in church.
Mm.
I grew up singing, so I can sing. I was a choir master. I became the regional choir master, wow. And I would do a lot of things in that church.
Which denomination is this?
This was Lutheran church. So okay. It was the choir.
Yes,
where
yes.
I would stand up and you know, you raise your hands to actually make people sing. So one of the things that I do, I sing.
Mm,
and so life was tough. So growing up from Chaisa, going to school and all.
I'd like to get a feel of how much pressure did you have, like peer pressure, right? So you move from a place like Chaisa and go to Munali. Obviously, you get to meet different people there, and it's a different environment as well. How much pressure did you have from your peers in terms of trying to think fit in? I mean, like, how many of your friends knew that actually you had a job that you were doing as a garden boy? How authentic were you to yourself and where you're coming from?
I must tell you straight that telling people that I was a gardener was embarrassing.
Mm.
So I didn't tell anyone. And I think some of my colleagues now listening to this radio who were with me in class and would be actually be surprised.
Wow.
So it was a bit embarrassing. And maybe most of them, they didn't even know that my mom was even a maid. And I was being supported by mom from that angle. And however, I kept my cool. You know, I kept myself looking good and all. There was the peer pressure because there was this group of people that, of course, they were looking good and everything else was going for them, and everything was being provided. We had colleagues of ours who had been brought to school every day by they're being driven, you understand, and so there was a peer pressure around life. But one thing that I liked about being in school that time is that there was another mixture of different people. And I joined a Christian group, so we used to pray together with a team. I was and it was good. I remember Pastor Paul, my friend, and Gotso, we formed up a Christian group where we were actually just praying together over lunch, encourage each other, and days went on. And I was made a prefect, and it was good.
So were those prayers over lunch substitute for lunch?
I think some of them were actually dodgy and big substitute for lunch.
Okay, if you're joining us, you're listening to Money Meets, and on Money Meets this afternoon, we have Dr. Kelvin Sokoni, who's a group CEO of KSM Group, and we're just getting to find out more about him.
Money Meets.
Given your thing background, I know some people use that as an excuse for not to do things, and use that as an excuse for them to just be stagnant and blame the environment.
That's right.
How were you in terms of being visionary about what you wanted to be later on in future? What were you thinking about that time? Like, how far did you want to like get in future in terms of work and the like? Seeing that your opportunities obviously were limited, what is that big goal that you kept looking at, and who are some of the people that kept you focused on that dream?
Okay, so it is true that it is difficult to get out from the ghetto.
Mm.
And sometimes to get out the ghetto from a man is very difficult. I must say that. So
how much of Chaisa is still in you?
I think there's a rough side of it. If you push me a little bit, I'll remember where I was. So I grew up doing karate, actually, in Chaisa.
Wow.
I went all the way to do black belt.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that
I
have karate arrangement around me. Yeah, so I think getting out of that place, I knew somehow in my heart, and I think many people, young people, even other people, they can resonate with this. I felt that I was very different.
Mm.
Even if I was staying in the ghetto, I felt that there's something different about me. And I felt that I didn't fit in that place. And I knew somehow in me that I'm going to be someone worthy later on in life. And so even my behavior, where my characters and my mixing was kind of measured in the sense that I felt this some level of importance around myself, and I think that gave me a vision of wanting to become different, and especially the pressures of, you know, poverty around me that made me work so hard in terms of school, and I saw school as the only way out to actually make sure that I studied. I used to cram. I mean, not the way our kids of nowadays are cramming. I used to know the book from left to right to the. These guys can't even read a book. I used to memorize the book like no man's business, and this is only under candlelight, or maybe
the
Koloboy. You understand? It was tough, just, you know, studying. But finally, I made it, and it was. So I moved from Nali. I went to Evelyn College, and I saw everyone was excited. Mom was very excited. I was now, you know, going, and I'm carrying the fire for the family, like I'm like making it. Guess what? As we were in the, I was quite political, so I joined the union. So after joining the union, unfortunately, something happened. So we planned that we were going to have a peaceful demonstration and all this kind of thing, and unfortunately, that peaceful demonstration ended up to be not peaceful.
Okay, yeah.
And finally,
most of them do.
Yeah, and finally, the leaders were expelled.
Wow.
So here's the future that I was keenly building, and then here it is now, expelled. And the minister Kabunda Kayongo was in charge of TVTC, I think.
Science and technology.
Yeah. And so what is very interesting about this is that I gave my life to Christ in 1994, and this was about the time when I was expelled. So, and my pastor was Pastor Chiluba.
Moses
Chiluba.
Moses Chiluba.
Yeah, with Camnet TV. So when I gave my life to, he encouraged me and everything else. When I was expelled, he told me, "Sonny, I'd love to introduce, I want to take you to the Minister of Health so that we can talk to him and see whether you can be given an opportunity to come back and write." But you remember by this time at home, I was kind of disowned. How can I? You know, after...
Where was your father know this?
He was around. I mean, you know, he took too much to drinking. So he really sometimes did not get... That's why I said that I actually took up the step to manage the family. And when I was expelled, this was really tough. So one day, my pastor, Pastor Moses Chiluba, arranged that we meet at Woodgate House, second floor, where we are going to meet the Minister of Health then. And guess who the Minister of Health was?
Woodgate House.
Yes, Woodgate House. It was Mr. Chiru, Michael Sata.
Oh, yes.
He was the Minister of Health then. So we went into his office, and Pastor said, "This is my son. He's coming to my church," and he was expelled at Evelyn College. So after hearing the whole story, he picked up a call and called the Minister of Science and Technology, Ms. Madam Kabunda Kayongo then. May her soul rest in peace, and talked to her and said, "Can you just allow this boy to just write?" And you know, he's coming from a humble family and all that. He didn't know. He tried to, and may his soul rest in peace as well, the president.
The president, yes.
And she said, "No, I can't allow him in school because these are dangerous children, you know." However, she said, "I'm just going to allow him to write exams." So I was expelled indefinitely and only allowed to write exams at Evelyn College because of the former president, Mr. Michael Sata, who spoke to her. So I wrote exams, and guess what? I cleared. I passed, and that was very interesting. That's how come I did my human resource management at Evelyn College. I cleared, and everything was fine. And then somehow, I believe now, so when I was expelled, since I gave my life to Christ, there's a song that I used to sing, and it used to encourage me. And where there's no way, you know, he always provides a way where there's... God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see.
Yes, you're sounding a bit rusty now.
I'm sure
back then you...
I used to sing, So I would sing that song, and every time that was my song. And so when I was at church then, I kind of thought about how do I really make it going forward to life. And for sure, when something happens that is bad on your life, God prepares a way. I think this is why God says in everything you have to give thanks, right? Mm. And so guess what? One day I decided, look, since I've been expelled and I can't go for work, for school and everything else, I'm going to look for a job. And this is very interesting because something happened. I decided to look for jobs everywhere else and I couldn't find any job. So I decided I'm going to ZRA. So I went and I met the security guard and he asked me, you, what are you looking for? I said, I've made an appointment with the director HR. And he calls the office of the HR, the PA answers and he says, I've got a young man, he says he's got an appointment. And she says, no, there's no appointment like that. So there was some bit of confusion. Then she says, ask him to come up. So I go up and I told her, I've got an appointment with the director HR. She says, but there must be a problem here. He didn't tell me you've got an appointment. So she calls the director and says, there's a young man, he says he wants to see you. He's got an appointment. He says, also the director got confused. He says, no, I don't think I have. But anyway, ask him in. So I went into the director's office and when I standing in front of him, I said, sir, I'm sorry, I did not have any appointment with you, but you know how difficult it is to see you. I've got something to tell you. The man says, sit down. I sat down and said, and his name was Mr. Mulenga Woa, Director HR, 1994. And I sat down there and he says, okay, young man, how can I help you? I said, sir, I'm looking for a job. I was doing HR. I was expelled from Everon College. And they just allowed me to write exams. So in between my exams and now, I want a job. I'm looking for a job. I've looked for a job everywhere else. And everyone is telling me you can't see the director. So that's how come I made up the story. He said, young man, you know, you made it to my office like this. You must be very good. So actually, I'm employing you right now.
Wow.
That's how come I started my job at ZRA. So I was offered a job. My first supervisor was Mr. Chisala. He called Mr. Chisala in, get this young man, let him start. Guess when this date was? It was on the 24th of December.
Wow, 1994. Christmas Eve.
Yeah, 1994. And everyone was knocking off half day that day. So it was around 12 something. So I started work and then we all knocked off. So I worked for ZRA for 6 years.
Mm.
I started from a clerk at the training center. I worked with Mr. Kritikos Mwansa, who was our training manager. I grew up training and training, and I started working and moving on from one position to the other. I was then moved to head office, in charge of recruitment, in charge of contracts, and I was appointed to be acting in a particular position. And finally, I was acting manager.
Money Meets. Time to meet the influential and outstanding figures on Money Meets. Money Meets.
Just a fun fact.
Yeah.
Years later, you go to a training institute.
Yes.
Or the place where you do trainings from.
Yes.
Is actually neighbors
with the
late Kritikos Mwansa.
Yes, with the late Kritikos Mwansa's office. So Kritikos used to call me Sokni. He was so fond of me. Even when he became the Commissioner General, he was always calling me. Kind of, we bonded very well with, because I think he had children my age, and so he saw me as his. So really, my soul is resting in peace. Yeah. I was really trained and supported by people who were very strong, and like Kritikos Mwansa and others. And so that's how I joined ZRA. I worked there. I was all the way to acting manager and manager HR, and it was good. I mean, and that's when I met my wife when she was in grade 8, when I was in grade 10. And so at the time when I was at ZRA, I decided to marry. So
wow.
I married at that time.
Brilliant.
Yeah, after marrying, after a few months, I was poached. So Mr. Bwaliachiti, the former ambassador, came and said, young man, I've heard about you. You are quite good at HR. Could you join my company? Which company it was? Telecel.
Telecel,
He was the chairman for Telecel. So he called me and told me I can offer you a job as head of HR.
So you were headhunted?
Yes, I was. So I accepted. So I joined Telecel, and Telecel then was booming.
Yes.
You remember Motorola?
Yes. Phones were just coming onto the market.
Exactly. Then. So I was the first HR, head of HR for Telecel. Now,
and this is just with your paper from Evelyn Horn?
Just for my paper from Evelyn Horn. At the time, I was studying now.
Okay.
I was doing my studies. I did my business, my degree in bachelor's degree with Preston University. So I was not allowed to write exams in Zambia, so I wrote that one from America.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was doing correspondence.
How was your mother's reaction when you told her about the ZRA experience, when you got a job?
She was extremely excited because, you know, where things had looked like so dusty, so bad, and here she was seeing the child coming up. And really, I put myself together and I avoided getting involved in politics. In fact, the expulsion, I must just say something to some of the people there. The expulsion, remember the mob psychology?
Yes.
I think there are things that you can control, there are things you can't control. As a leader, I thought I was going to control things there.
Yes.
Guess what? We didn't control things. We were so surprised that some boys jumped the wall from Iveron College, went into the road, there was a snack attack across there, and they bent a vehicle. Wow. It wasn't in our plan. So whoever is planning protests or things like that, you think you may be in control of things, something else happened. And for me, from that time onwards, I stayed away from issues to do with the mobs and politics, because I had my hands bent. So here I was at Telesel now, excited, new life, new wife, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so now, it's very interesting. How good was your performance at ZRA that you got the attention of a chairman of a telco? And obviously, Walachiti is a very big man. And back then, I mean, like, even him just as a businessman.
Yeah.
And there's a new business that started in the country. It's big. It's in a green field, so to speak. How good was your work?
I think if you are a talent, you always grow. You always, people get to know about you. If you're really good at what you do, people get to know about you. So as I speak to you right now, I think a lot of people, I left a legacy at ZRA because of the things that I used to do. I think even the employees themselves, the staff, got to know me so much. Even now, we still actually are in touch. Mm. I'm happy to also say that even the current CEO, I was privileged to be part of the people that interviewed the current CG to come into ZRA.
Really?
With his team, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was, because of the things I used to do, I was crazy. I was responsible for recruitment then, and I was recruiting in different areas and all. So, and big numbers. You know, ZRA, we were recruiting like 100 and 200 or 300 at the same time, and then get those people trained. And I think that caught the kind of person that Mr. Waliachiti wanted someone who would be good at that kind of area, and he came and said, I'm giving you a job.
Yeah.
And it was good.
So now, look at your background, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how you ended up in Think HR and then thriving to where you are today. Look at your background. I'm sure you didn't have a lot of exposure, so probably your options for career choices were very limited. How did you end up in HR, and was it a stepping stone, like hoping maybe, okay, let me just get into school and get a paper, and then maybe after that then you go and do some other studies? And then how did you just settle in it and decide to build what you've built now in that field?
I think from childhood, when I was in grade 12, we used to have a careers master. Mm. I've forgotten her name. And so she gave us options in terms of what career we want to take. And I think I settled for HR. I saw myself as a people person. And therefore, I went in there and I said, I'm going to do personnel management. Mm. It was called personnel management. So this is how come. Immediately after I finished my grade 12, when there was a holiday, that 1 month of a holiday, I went to Iveron College, talked to Mr. Mungo, who was our principal then, to tell him, look, I've just written my grade 12 and the results are not out, but I want to enroll in the afternoon class. Could you allow me? If I fail, you remove me from class. All right? So Mr. Mungo said, okay, if you've got money, pay. So I paid and I started class in the evenings. When I was on holiday. So I never had a break from grade 12 to college.
Money me.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Money meets.
I can see that you don't wait for opportunities to think come to you. You go out. What would be your word of advice to people that will probably just sit and wait for things to happen? I mean, like, given your stories, you know, some of them sound too good to be true.
True.
I mean, you took yourself to ZRA.
That's right.
The director's office.
Yeah.
You thought of getting a job as a gardener.
Yeah.
You know, you took yourself to the principal's office. A few people would do that.
That's right.
What is it about you that just takes yourself to opportunities?
I think there's one thing that is called self-drive. You must be self-driven, and you must be able to take risks in life. And I must tell you, if you are seated, as a man especially, sitting at home will never bring money or bring anything to you. There's something about going out that God has made in a human being, that when you leave your home, go out and do something, something, you have something coming through. Check, when you're on leave, let's take a teacher, when they're on leave, they go back home, they're sitting at home, there's nothing that they have, they don't even have money, but there's some act of going for work. When coming back, you always come with a plastic with something at least. So sitting at home will never bring money to anyone. So as a man, always aim to do something out there.
Okay. So now you think had experience, obviously went to ZIA, I think went to Telecel, went to Dunavant, went to Barclays.
Yeah.
So, and then finally, this is about 7 years ago now.
That's right.
Into your current position, what got you to make the decision to say, okay, let me try and set up my own shop?
Okay, so from moving from Telesa, I was poached to Dunavant as head of HR, and from Dunavant, I was poached again to go into Barclays Bank as a HR director. There, I worked for, at Barclays, I worked for 6 years, very good. So I was exposed very heavily, moving from one country to the other in different capacities, helping out other countries in HR. At a peak, when we did, you know, in 2010, we did a restructuring at ZRA. So I decided I should actually get the money. I was qualified. By that time, I'd finished my master's degree, and I'd do all this. So I said, okay, I'm qualified enough, and there's enough money here for me to actually get. So I decided to get the money. And I was bullish enough to say that I'm going to survive it. So, and that's how I started my business. I started my business, KSM Management Consultants, in my bookshop, in my study room in Kalundu, and started slowly. After some time, you know, no one was giving me business, despite me being known around and stuff like that.
Is that still at the current place where you guys are situated?
Yes. Okay. No. But it was at my home now.
At your home, okay.
So, and we started growing from home, and finally we found ourselves where we are situated right now. And so there's some sentimental value for me to be where we are. We could have changed the place a long time ago, but because that's... We found that place very rugged, very, you know, the roof sucked in and everything. And I did not have money enough to actually. So I talked to the owner. I said, can I repair the roof and everything else and go in? We agree 2 or 3 years arrangement. He accepted. And so I was paying little money. And that helped us to kind of scale up in terms of business. My business grew. We ended up growing up to be the biggest HR firm as KSM Management Consultants in the country. And finally... in 2015, I came up with another company, and that was First Debt Managers, which is a debt collection company. I must say that we've grown to be very big now. We actually
is that due to your experience in karate?
Maybe.
Is that the chaser in you?
Maybe the chaser in me brought in the rough side of me. So that's how come we came up with that company. It's grown, it's big, it's got a number of stuff. I'm just from the Copper Belt about a week ago. We've just opened up our First Debt Managers new office in Chingola. We are servicing our mining industry there and so on and so forth. And then in 2016, I opened up another company, and this was Jalis Properties. We're into property issues.
Yeah.
And 2017, another company again. This is called SalesLink. We are into banking. We're doing a bit of banking. Agency banking and some solutions that actually we are providing the people, and all together we are now called KSM Group. Okay. So the company has grown, family has grown. I think there's a big difference from, if I look back now, how I grew up from Chaisa to where I am, and the successes that God has just put before me, I can't just but thank Him, you know, for the kind of things that have made me to be where we are. And yes, life is tough, okay? Running a business is not easy. it's tough to run a business. It has got its own seasons, ups and downs, but God has seen us be sustained year on year and have given us clients that have been supporting us in the kind of business that we've been doing. So a life can only be sustained by you as a person if you are all resilient, and you must believe in a being. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in your God. And to manage 4 companies at one time is a challenge, to a level where I find a number of people don't want to work with, is find it difficult to work with their spouses. Mm. I was happy last year, I influenced my wife in such a unique way that I told her to stop working in a bank to come and join us. And she's now an executive director managing one of the companies. It's very interesting working with your wife. I think for me, that's a success point, I can say. So between my wife and I, we've got 4 kids.
Yeah.
They're grown up and they're in school, and we're moving with life and looking to God to actually say our best life will be. Looking forward for 2019 now.
Okay. All right. If you just joined us, this is Ali Nani, and in studio this afternoon we have Dr. Kelvin Sokoni, who is the Group Chief Executive Officer at KSM Group. And the last part of this interview,
yeah,
you just mentioned your wife.
Yes.
Do you guys go on holidays on a regular?
Yes.
What are some of the things that you're doing now that you couldn't do back then?
Going on holiday. All right, so we take every opportunity to actually be the two of us and and maybe with family. For example, some of our kids are in boarding, all right, out of town. So what we do, we make it a holiday. So each time we are visiting them, we just don't go the same day. We go the previous day, we sleep at an apartment, and we make it all interesting, just going to see the kids. But also, we've also put together, whenever kids are back from school on a holiday, we always plan at least a 2 or 3 days outing with the kids out of town, where we go and be together with the family, and then from there within they can go out. So, and we plan some outside the country. Every December we want to go out of the country. Recently we were in Namibia, where we stayed there for about 2 or 3 weeks with the kids. We went to Sakomond, Wavis Bay, and the city, the capital city. We had interesting time there with the kids. So I'm looking forward. We want to try Malawi. I'm told the lakes, the sea there, the ocean there. We want to see Malawi. So
Lake Malawi.
I want to see Lake Malawi and with the kids and see maybe we can go there this year.
You should go during the Lake of Stars Music Festival.
Yeah, maybe that would be. When is it?
It's brilliant. I'll check and confirm for you.
Yeah,
when the next
I'll be looking forward to doing that.
Okay, all right. Now, and as we come to a close, I'm used to singing, by the way.
I don't sing. I sing at church. So
you sing it?
Not that I sing
in the
choir, but in the congregation. but also, my bishop gives me opportunities to lead a church sometimes, and I go to Deliverance Church at BC here.
Oh.
And so, when I have an opportunity, I sneak in 1 or 2 songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
all right, brilliant. Now, as we come to the end of the show, what are some of the habits that you had back then, like when you were probably still in school, that drive that you had, what are some of the habits that you had then, do you still implement to this day?
I see myself to be a workaholic, and I think I used to be a studyholic at the time.
Yeah,
I used to sleep very few hours. Up to now, guess what, I sleep 4 hours.
Wow.
So I think all my life has been tough, so I sleep very late. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll notice that I'm sending out interview tips every so often. And I guess what time I always send those? Between 24 and 01.
Wow.
Every day, because that's when my mind is clear, so I can do a few things. So I write those things in the night and then send them out. So every day I do that. So I've developed this habit of, and sometimes I spend time to think and strategize for the next day in the night. It's when it is quiet. After my devotion, then you want to sleep. So you want to make sure that you actually, think straight about tomorrow, about your future. Yeah.
And I hope you're always checking your health.
Yes, I always do. I do a bit of exercise in the morning when I wake up. I do a bit of exercising. I do press ups a bit, sit ups and stuff like that.
How important is that for busy people, business people especially?
I think it's very important. Sometimes we sit in meetings. I think we executive people actually look like they're being paid for being in meetings.
Yes, it is.
So we sit a lot in those meetings. So what I did is that I'm a cyclist, so I bought myself a bike. So I cycle a bit, and cycling is good because it your whole body wakes up.
So this time is for healthy reasons, as opposed to then when you're cycling to get to school.
Indeed. So this time I do a little bit of cycling, and I do those press ups and all this, so just to keep myself fit.
Yeah.
But walking also, I do some walking. If there's an opportunity for me to go nearest place at my home to go and buy one or two things, I'd rather walk than drive, because I think I find myself so much in the car. And I think it's a disease for every one of us. We drive more than walk.
Yeah. Okay. And then finally, obviously, you know, unemployment levels in the country.
Yeah.
Are scary.
Yeah.
A lot of young people out there trying to make ends meet. As a recruiter, what would you say? Obviously, we don't have enough jobs to absorb take in the demand that's there.
That's right.
Any words to young people, especially on how they can make themselves stand out and just survive the thing, harsh job market? Right. Yes.
Allow me to just say crazy things around here regarding what I've observed over time. Our school curriculum is good, but at the end of it, it teaches us how to speak English, how to write English, and how to, you know, read and write. But it does not give us the tools to survive the life. And unfortunately, our school curriculum seems to be preparing us to work. Right? It gives us to work, to be employees. And if you notice, asking you a question, why was entrepreneurship missing from your curriculum from grade, say, 9 to now? And I think that's a shame, because I think Zambia and every one of us should be more thinking about entrepreneurship than finding a job. So, yes, the job market is very tight, I can tell you. I'm actually the recruiter. We recruit every day. Right now, I'm going to post about 10 jobs or so when I go back to the office. But you can see that even when we interview someone, and we think that they are good at the job, when you give someone to do work, you find that their levels of working are not that very good, meaning the training was not very to the level, was not given to the level. So, and this is impacting on the employers and their choices of who they recruit and how they recruit. Yeah. And therefore, a lot of our people, whilst educated and have the papers and degrees they can show around, unfortunately, at the end of the day, most of those are just papers, but their skills and competencies are not there.
Okay.
So, meaning the employer has to get you and rebuild you again. So that's where the issues are. But you shouldn't give up. I think, as I stand here, I want to encourage you to actually think of starting your own business. And the right time is now. And starting a business, you don't need to have a lot of money. I can tell you that. Just come up with an idea. And that idea should actually help you make money. And when you're coming up with an idea, come up with an idea that you think it goes around masses, where the masses want so many things, and start something. Personally, I'm starting different businesses every year. I'm running about 4 businesses right now, and other things that I do behind the scene. And I think you must go in that direction. Start thinking of becoming an entrepreneur. But it's good to have a job. Find a job for the purposes of raising capital. So my view to you is that, yes, you get a job for 5-6 years, work to raise capital. As you start that job, start your idea, start, you know, bringing your entrepreneurial skills up at that stage.
Dr. Sokoni, thank you very much. It's
my
been an interesting chat.
My pleasure.
There are some things I didn't know about you, which now I know. Although, I don't know if you knew that Felix Banda is also from Chaisa.
Is that so?
Yes. He's another Chaisa boy.
He's another. You see, that's what I was thinking about. But allow me to just say one thing.
Sure.
And this thing is, you may be there in despair, and you may be having a situation, and you think that being successful, it requires those people that have made it, or coming out from good families and everything else. I want to quote a verse for you. And this is Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes, remember just 9-11, the 9-11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9-11. And it says, the race is not to the swift, nor bread to the wise, but time and chance happen to them all. I want to tell you that you've got an equal chance to make it in life. You've got an equal chance wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you come from, whether compound, whether whatever state you are in, it's between you and your God. You can make it. Personally, I depend on God, and I think I've made it so far, and God has been so good to me, and He can be good to you as well. May God bless you.
Well, I can't add anything more to that. This has been Alinani on Money Meets, and special thanks to Dr. Kelvin M. Sokuni, the Group Chief Executive Officer at KSM Group. So stay tuned and enjoy the rest of the programming.
Money Meets. Time to meet the influential and outstanding figures on Money Meets. Money Meets.